Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a pillar of campaign finance law. The court ended restrictions on the total amount of money any donor can give to candidates during an election cycle.
It was the case of Sean McCutcheon versus the Federal Election Commission. Writing the majority opinion, Chief Justice Roberts cited the protection of free speech and said that laws intended to prevent government corruption should address bribery, not political speech, even if the laws may allow greater influence for the wealthy.
And we'd like to hear your thoughts about the decision. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Here with us today in the studio to help get an understanding of what this decision could mean, how it could affect Wisconsin, is Mike McCabe. He's executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
What do you see as the impact of this ruling of the Supreme Court?
Well, this is a ruling that benefits about 1,200 people. There were 1,219 donors nationally who bumped up against this limit in the 2012 elections. So we're talking about in a country of over 300 million people, there were about four out of every million Americans who bumped up against this limit. One of them was Sean McCutcheon, a very wealthy Alabama businessman. He felt the limit was cramping his style, and he wanted that limit removed, and the court obliged him. He sued and challenged the law. This was a federal case, was challenging federal campaign contribution limits, but it certainly has implications for state law as well.
So what this means is for a wealthy donor like that, they could go to a party and say, take the number of House of Representatives candidates, Senate candidates, presidential candidates, multiply it by the limit. Here's a check for that amount.
Yeah, there's still going to be limits on the amount you can give to any individual candidate,
right,
or any individual political committee. But one of the reasons why there's an aggregate limit, and at the federal level, the limit was $123,200. That's an amazing amount of money for most people to contemplate giving in political contributions. But there were 1,219 donors who bumped up against that limit. But the reason that aggregate limit is in there is to prevent people from being able to circumvent the limits to individual candidates. Now what's going to be able to happen is you're going to be able to give money to other candidates who can then in turn make contributions to candidates who really need the money. Or you can give it to another political committee or a party committee, and they will be able to steer money to candidates in really competitive races. So now somebody like Sean McCutcheon, instead of being able to give $2,600 to a particular congressional candidate, he'll be able to give $2,600 to that candidate, some more to some other candidates, in fact, any other candidate, other political committees, and then they could steer the money to a person who really needs that money. They would be getting Sean McCutcheon's money as well, and way more than $2,600. So one of the things that aggregate limits were supposed to do is prevent money laundering, the circumvention of the individual contribution limits. That aggregate limit, that protection is now gone because of the Supreme Court ruling.
A main argument from the plaintiff and in the majority opinion written by Chief Justice Roberts is, hey, the government should have a really light touch on regulating any form of political expression. There has to be some proven harm here, and we don't see it that way. We don't see a proven harm to letting people donate, in effect, as much as they want. Shouldn't the government have a light touch? Is it do we run into trouble when we regulate political expression?
Well, what the court did many years ago, it started in 1976, is they really radically redefined the meaning of free speech, and they reinterpreted the First Amendment. The First Amendment only has 45 words, and money is not one of those words. But in 1976, the court ruled that money equals speech. And the Citizens United decision in 2010 built on that concept. The McCutcheon decision further builds on that doctrine, the money is speech doctrine. Well, when money becomes speech, then effectively what the court has done is removed the R from free speech. They've turned that right into a privilege that has to be purchased at great expense. And now you have a situation where ultra-wealthy donors, one out of six American billionaires, ran up against this limit, and they're now going to be able to go way beyond that limit and dole out even more money to candidates, have even more influence over those who serve in office, And that, in turn, will weaken the voices of ordinary citizens. The voter loses here, loses influence over their own elected representatives, and big money donors gain considerable influence thanks to this decision. And it's a ruling that affects 0.00003% of the American population.
Given that so few people can do this, is this really going to affect American politics that much?
Oh, it affects American politics in a huge way, but it's very few people who are now going to be able to have greater impact on the political process. And of course, all the other over 300 million Americans see their ability to have a voice and have influence in the process diminished because of the fact that now these 1,219 donors have an unlimited ability to steer money to various campaigns and circumvent the limits that were put in place to try to guard against corruption. What we have right now effectively is a new form of legal bribery that's growing up around us. And, you know, Wisconsin banned the practice of bribery back in 1897. And, of course, we became a state in 1848, so for the first half century of statehood, bribing a public official was perfectly legal. It was finally outlawed in 1897. Now, because of these court rulings that started in 1976, what we basically have is the reemergence of a new form of legal bribery, and that corrupts the political process. It can corrupt our elected officials. Ultimately, the voters end up being the losers in this equation.
The court made the argument that it isn't bribery if there isn't a specific quid pro quo. I'm not saying I'm donating you, candidate X, money. You make this change to the law in exchange for that money.
That's what the court majority did argue. And of course, the vast majority of Americans just see that as phony logic. You know, in fact, just on Tuesday, we had 13 Wisconsin communities ask the question, do you believe that there's too much money in politics? And overwhelmingly, in Scott Walker's hometown of Wauwatosa, in Waukesha, in communities all across the state, Elkhorn, in every one of these 13 communities, super majorities of voters said, yes, there's too much money in politics, and they even support amending the Constitution to reverse these rulings and reverse the effects of Citizens United and now the McCutcheon decision.
What's this going to mean here in Wisconsin, this ruling?
Well, this was a federal case, and it challenged the federal aggregate campaign contribution limit, but there are states, including Wisconsin, that have their own versions of these limits at the state level. We do have an aggregate contribution limit in Wisconsin. Now you're going to see wealthy donors and these interests challenge those state laws as well. And they're going to use the McCutcheon decision as their justification for why these things should be thrown out. So our ability at the state level to protect against these our campaign contribution limits being circumvented, money being steered and effectively laundered from one campaign committee to another, from one candidate to another, that is very much in jeopardy now at the state level.
Do you think these state laws will end up in the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, there's already a case that's been filed in federal court challenging Wisconsin's state limit. And now I think that the argument is going to be made. See, the United States Supreme Court said that these kinds of limits are unconstitutional. They should be struck down at the state level as well. So we're going to see these kinds of challenges. And I think that puts state politics in as great a jeopardy as federal elections.
We're talking to Mike McCabe. He's executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, talking about the Supreme Court's decision yesterday to strike down limits on total aggregate campaign donations.
Yeah, we'd like to hear from you on this. What do you think of the ruling? Are you concerned that it could give wealthy donors a disproportionate voice in elections, or does the ruling protect the First Amendment? And what do you see about the influence here on Wisconsin? Our number, 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're back with Mike McCabe, executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We're talking about the Supreme Court's decision yesterday to strike down limits on total campaign donations to federal candidates. The decision could lead to the end of Wisconsin state laws limiting contributions here.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the U.S. Supreme Court made a good decision in favor of free speech, or are you worried that this gives wealthy donors an outsized say in elections? Again, 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Peter on the line in Baraboo. Peter, hi. You're on the air.
Thank you so much. I'm a recently elected Sauk County supervisor as well as a member of the Baraboo School Board. I have seen what is happening in our state in terms of local elections, the kinds of money that are now filtering down from federal to state to local elections is one of the horrors of United Citizens United. It is probably one of the worst decisions the Supreme Court has made, and I will do everything in my power as an elected official to help overturn that. Thank you.
Peter, thanks for the call. Mike McCabe?
And not only is Citizens United something that dropped a bomb on the political landscape, but now the Supreme Court has really doubled down with the McCutcheon ruling. And we are seeing these big money influences from out of state trickling all the way down to the local level. In Polk County, we saw outside money coming in to try to influence county board races. In Iron County, we saw the Koch brothers group, Americans for Prosperity, jump into county board races there. And then a Kenosha school board race, again, Americans for Prosperity jumped in and tried to influence the elections there. So it's coming to a community near you soon, and we saw it in three instances here in, at the local level. So not only have state elections been Washingtonized, but now it's really beginning to affect us at the community level.
We'll go now to Lynette with us in Milwaukee. Lynette, hi.
Yeah, hi. You know, I think one of the things that really upsets me is that the court has made decisions against average everyday people. So making it harder to sue on discrimination issues, either gender or race, if the person doesn't have the power to hire or fire, but, you know, has the power to basically run you off the job. And you have Congress refusing to extend unemployment. And even Glenn Grothman, you were saying in one of the news pieces, saying, oh, he wants to run because people are too dependent on welfare. And yet we're giving all of this access to people with money. I'm just surprised and perplexed as to why more average people aren't outraged or they just don't get it.
Mike?
Oh, I think average people are outraged. But the question is, how long will it take for the public consensus that is emerging? And it's really a tripartisan consensus. Democratic voters, Republican voters, and independent voters are alike are voting to move to amend the Constitution, saying there's too much money in politics and we need to do something about this. The question is, how long will it take for that public consensus to sink in with the public officials? There's a real disconnect right now between the public and the public officials. That's not healthy and it's not sustainable.
Before we go back to our callers, I've seen some people say, hey, there's a silver lining here with this new McCutcheon ruling as compared to Citizens United. They say Citizens United opened up a lot of donations that don't get disclosed, don't require always names to be put on who made the donation. These donations to parties, donations to candidates over, I think, $100 are disclosed. So even though there's more money, there's more transparency.
Well, you know, there's a huge dark cloud there, and they're trying to suggest that that's a tiny silver lining on a huge dark cloud. But, you know, the same argument was made when lawmakers here in Wisconsin said that they wanted to double the limits on campaign contributions. And they said that'll mean more money will be steered to the candidates and that'll be disclosed, and less money will go to the interest groups that spend money secretly. Well, we had a test of that theory in all those recall elections that we had in Wisconsin, because in those elections, there were no limits on contributions to candidates. You could give as much as you want to the candidates targeted for recall, and yet we still saw record spending by these shadowy outside interest groups. So it didn't stop or inhibit at all the money from flowing to those groups. This won't either. It'll give those wealthy donors just another channel to funnel their money, but they're also going to spend their money and send their money to these interest groups that sponsor their own advertising just as they give the money to the candidates.
So if they could already donate all they wanted to these interest groups, does it matter that they have this new info? Does McCutcheon make that much difference? Is it going to add more to the aggregate sum of money in elections?
I think clearly Sean McCutcheon thought so. He wanted to be able to not only funnel money to interest groups, he wanted to give directly to elected officials. He wants them to know that the money's coming from him. And he felt inhibited in his ability to give money directly to candidates. So what Citizens United did is said that interest groups can spend as much as they want. You can't put any limit on what outside interest groups spend to influence elections. McCutcheon takes the next step and says, well, maybe we shouldn't limit what people give directly to the candidates. And they said, if you have unlimited interest group spending, that's not corrupting because it's not money going directly to the candidates. Now the court's turning around and saying increasing the limits on or abolishing limits on the money that goes directly to candidates, that's not corrupting either. It's really amazing that the court just keeps moving the ball and saying that there really isn't such a thing as money corrupting politicians. And, of course, the general public looks at that and sees it as really a preposterous notion.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Matt on the line in Green Bay. Hi, Matt.
Hi there. Great show. Thank God for public radio and public media. I wonder if the paid-for broadcast media has been doing backflips on this decision as well. We all rail against the system and scream, oh, my God, we can't have this going on. There's too much money in politics. Now we're going to throw more in. And we rail that, why is the public more outraged? Well, they're not hearing about it from any other media source because the media is making a fortune on these campaigns.
Matt, thanks for the call. I mean, there's been a lot of media attention, Mike, but do you think that that the media isn't paying enough attention to these issues?
Well, clearly television in particular is a major beneficiary of all this campaign money because if you look at where the money goes, the biggest single expense is television advertising. And the broadcast industry has also fought against sensible campaign finance regulation, and particularly the big television owners. And so you look at America, we're the only major democracy on earth that doesn't have some form of free airtime for candidates to be able to communicate with voters without having to pay for all that airtime. That's why there's such a demand for political money. These interest groups and these candidates need the money because they need to buy television airtime.
So, Mike, when it comes down to it, do you think this money in politics and the expansion of the flow of money in politics changes the way our nation is governed, the way laws are passed?
Oh, absolutely. And on every issue, every day, you see Congress and you see the state legislature making decisions that benefit these big donors and the interest groups that supply all this cash. They are ceaselessly catering to these interests. You see it on issue after issue. And the public gets it. You know, the public, your average voter is not stupid. They can read the handwriting on the wall and they can see how that all this money corrupts the system, even if the Supreme Court pretends that they can't see it. And that's why you're seeing all this activism at the local level, bringing these votes up in communities all across Wisconsin and all across the country where people are saying, you know, money's not speech. Corporations are not people. Elected offices are not commodities that are supposed to be sold on the open market. That this is a corrupt system. And I don't think we've seen conditions like this in our lifetimes. You have to go back to the late 1800s and the Gilded Age, the age of the robber barons, to see comparable conditions, comparable threats to democracy. And I think people get that. And that's why there's a growing movement to try to push back against this.
But as long as the U.S. Supreme Court disagrees with that movement, is anything going to change?
Well, you know, there's always been courts over the course of history that have issued rulings that aren't in keeping with public opinion. Of course, we had a Supreme Court that once said that people could be property. They gave their blessing to slavery. And of course, it took an amazing abolitionist movement over the course of decades to finally overturn that ruling and abolish slavery in this country. It's going to take a monumental effort in this case to deal with the scourge of money in politics and the threats to our democracy.
Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We've been talking with the Supreme Court's decision yesterday, striking down limits on total campaign donations.